Welcome to another episode of the Cognition & Co. podcast, Psychology in South Africa. I'm your host, Dylan Binion, and on today's long-awaited episode, we'll be chatting to Sarah Puto. Sarah, or Saggy Sarah, as some of you might know her, is a body acceptance advocate and is using the power of social media to showcase naturally occurring aspects of the human body while teaching people to accept any flaws they might perceive in their body.
Welcome to the podcast, Sarah. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
That was so different in comparison to what we were laughing about like just 5 seconds ago before we saw that.
Hold my laugh in there. I was just like, compose yourself.
But really, I mean, welcome. I'm so stoked to have you here. It's been so cool getting to know you while we've been prepping for this podcast. And it's just
likewise.
Been so much fun just to chat and joke around a bit. But I guess now we're down to the nitty gritty of it. And we actually want to get to know you and introduce you to all the listeners. And yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Who is this mysterious woman sitting across from me covered in tattoos?
Okay, hello guys. I am Sarah. I guess always my general background is I'm from Finland, but I grew up in Singapore and lived in Bangkok for a bit. So that was just mainly because of my dad's job. We moved around a lot growing up. And yeah, so I came to South Africa to study. I studied psychology here at uni. And yeah, graduated my honors last year. And now I run a body acceptance Instagram account full time. And yeah, that's kind of like my little description of what I do.
Like you say full time, like how much time does your page actually take out of your day? Like, is it really full time? Are you working like 9 to 5?
See, okay. So kind of like this whole transition of like, as a kid, I was always like, cool, I'm going to work a 9 to 5. So then like, once I finished honors, I was just like, cool, do I like force myself to stick to a 9 to 5 routine every day? I tried that, didn't really work out because like, especially with COVID and lockdown and like working from home, I'm just kind of like, oh, I could just chill on the couch for a little bit. So taking the couch breaks and miniature naps and food snacks and all that away, I think like it, like some days will be like a full day's work where I'll like make a post, edit it, write, post it, reply to comments, and stuff like that. Other days I'll be like, cool, I'm not feeling that great today. Like I'm going to chill it out a bit and just do a little bit of work. So it's really nice. Like work kind of working for myself where like I can take days off and kind of, yeah, plan around how I feel. It's really nice though.
I've noticed the same thing with me, right? So I started with Cognition & Co. full time from the beginning of last year. And one thing I've noticed is that time flies when you have 2 naps a day. So,
yeah.
So I've got to be careful, right? If I don't like structure my day out properly and like
definitely
give myself things to do, then, you know, that is what happens. But I mean, you're obviously busy with the social media and rightfully so, because you're spreading such a cool message, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But let's talk a little bit quickly about the fact that you study psychology, because obviously the people that listen to this, they, most of them are either psychology students or psychology professionals or people interested in psychology. So how did you enjoy it?
So I loved, actually, like when I started, I went into uni and did not know what I wanted to do. I actually applied for zoology first, didn't get in because my maths isn't good. yes. And then after that, I was just like, okay, cool. Well, I've always been into like the idea of psychology and I wanted to do criminology as well. So I was like, cool, let me do a BA general and just kind of narrow it down from there. So in second year, I kind of like fell in love with psychology and just loved like all the content that we were learning. And that's how I started sticking to it. And it was really beautiful, like kind of starting to understand myself and like other people as well. And like making those connections of like how people are in life. Like, I feel like before I would have all this like judgment towards people sometimes, like when I met them, I'd be like, oh, this person's like this and this. And like, but now you, once you've like studied psychology, I feel like you kind of like stop doing that and kind of get to know a person more. And like, as you get to know that person, you learn little like snippets about them, and then you kind of, I don't know, like if everyone does this, but like you kind of like view them as a whole, and you're like, okay, cool. Like, even if, for example, like, this isn't with everyone, but like if you meet someone and you're like, oh, I don't really love that aspect of them, but then later on you'll find out something and then be like, oh, that actually makes sense why that person is the way they are. And I feel like it's like really beautiful also, like with psychology, how it like connects people as well, and like just builds that like mutual understanding towards people. I think that's really fascinating as well.
For me, it was always the sort of understanding I was learning about myself along the way too, right? It was it was getting to understand the sort of learned behaviors that I had and where they might have come from, or like these automatic thoughts that I would have about certain aspects in my life, and where did those originate? Like what was the thing that started that? And only very recently did I come to understand where one of those things came from. I like that part about psychology a lot. And I think, that was what the next question I was going to ask you. Like, with what you do now, how much do you think psychology has contributed to that?
Definitely, like, a lot, especially in that aspect of viewing myself and just, like, looking inwards and being, like, what kind of, what is that word? It's preconditioned beliefs or subconscious beliefs that we have that we then, like, project onto, like, other people. And then also I've realized, because I have been doing this account and have been like running it since I was in undergrad. And I think it was in second year when we learned about the upward social comparison theory. And I was like, oh, that really relates to like what I do. And like that, how, when we see people online, like I feel like on social media, especially, we put up like our best selves up on there, or like we'll show like the highlights of our lives and stuff like that. So I feel like that causes like that upwards social comparison of being like, oh, that person's better than me. And then that's where it causes that like insecurity in yourself as well, being like, oh, I lack this and they have that. So I feel like that was like a massive thing that really psychologically like aligned with my work, which was really cool, having that little light bulb moment of being like, ah, this fits here. That makes sense.
It's so nice when the puzzle starts to come together and you start to see that whole picture, right? Well, I mean, that lends itself so nicely into a sort of segue that we can start to branch over into what it is that you actually do. So tell us about, you know, Saggy Sarah.
So basically what I do right now is I post photos related to body acceptance. So what that is kind of like breaking down insecurities of mine and other people. So like, I'll post things that I used to be insecure about or that I am currently still insecure about. Like, for example, I post a lot of photos of my stomach, and like recently I've posted about body hair and teeth, which actually isn't really talked about much, I noticed. And also like stretch marks and body acne and all of that. So it's just kind of like showing those things that like necessarily wouldn't be shown all over Instagram, just to like help people feel that kind of like connectedness and not feel so alone, you know, in their insecurities, and making them feel like I'm the only one who feels this way, because most of the time you're not.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like you said, now people are always sharing the highlights of their lives. And, you know, for most people, that's not the fact that you have stretch marks or the fact that your teeth are crooked or not like perfectly white.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to be sharing all these great things, and the social comparison that's happening in that leaves a lot of people feeling uncomfortable and, you know, not great about themselves. And that's not the way we should be feeling at all.
Yeah.
So you said, obviously you shared stuff with like, you know, tummies, like teeth, those are things. What other things do you share on your page? You know, like what sort of got the most receptance from followers?
So it's actually fluctuated throughout the years quite a bit. Like when I first started posting more like body acceptance stuff, I started with this like kind of series of Instagram versus reality. So it would be like a photo of me posed, and then the next photo next to it would be me unposed, or like a candid photo that would have been taken in between like those Instagram shots. And yeah, and then writing like long captions about how I felt, and, you know, just helping people realize that like everything that is on social media isn't always like the reality behind the scenes. As I said, like as we post like our highlights and stuff, and not everyone's walking around, you know, posing constantly. But lately I've also been posting like just the non-posed photos, just to like you know, show more of that instead of still having that posed photo next to it. So I feel like that helps a lot as well. And then also just like different aspects of like bodies, my face, as I said, that I used to be insecure about. And then I've also lately started like this little collaboration post thing where I ask my followers to send in photos of like a specific insecurity or something like that. I'll be like, guys, can you send me photos of your cellulite this week? And then everyone will send me photos and then I'll put those all together just to see like more diversity in bodies. So it's not just me constantly, you know.
I love that. That's such a clever idea. Yeah. And it gives some people opportunity to maybe anonymously share something like that, that they maybe wouldn't put onto their social media. Exactly, and in that, that's such a brave step for them, right? So it must feel good. And then they get to see, and they get to see themselves like maybe in a bit of a collage and be like, wow, like, you know, I'm not just the only person that has, you know, weird toes or, you know, something like that.
Exactly.
And we find out that they're not weird toes at all. They're just normal toes.
They are just toes.
Mine are really long and look like knickknacks. I mean, I don't know why, but like I'll share that if people want that.
All toes are worthy.
Yeah, toe lives matter. So I mean, you've taken, I mean, I remember seeing the photos when I first started following the account, and it's actually such a weird story, you know, that happened when I started following the account, or just before, just after. Because I was doing one of our group interview sessions, we were talking about the benefits and potential negatives of social media. And the students in that particular session had been quite on the negatives. And I said, oh, guys, you'd never believe it, but like follow this girl on Instagram, and she knows she shares body acceptance, right? She shares posts about like what real bodies look like, and she's so brave to do so. And one of the girls in this was like, oh, I know that girl, that's Zaggy Sarah. I study with her. And I was like, no. Oh, you're lying, she's famous, like she don't live here. And and she's like, no, for real. Like, so I remember checking like the time and showing my phone screen to the screen. She's like, yep, that's her, I know her. And I was like, she's like, she's South African, but not really, but she's South African. And I was like, awesome. Well, like now I need to reach out and meet this person because I want to have her somehow involved with what I do here. And that's how I got to follow your page. And I remember seeing in the beginning, right, like the pictures you would post. And like, even to me, it related. Like I've got a bit of a dad bod. And like, you know, if I was on the beach, I would pull in my stomach and like try like flex what's like reminiscence of an ab that I had. So that like, you know, I could feel better about myself in that photo. But then, you know, you see the photos that you share and the sort of the way that you're so brave to put yourself out there, and immediately it starts to change perspectives as to like what are we really comparing ourselves to on social media, and like why there's this sort of stigma about who we really are. We live with it every day, right? But like when we share it, we change that. And like there's something the psychology behind that, you know, I think it's something that could potentially be damaging if you place a lot of weight on that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I completely agree. I also used to do the same. Whenever I was at the beach, I'd also like suck in, flex. And I'm just like, I understand why I was doing it at the time. But like, now, like after running this page for quite a while, I've like kind of stopped doing that. Or like sometimes I'll still catch myself doing it and then being like, well, that's a random response that I've like taken in fully. And yeah, it's interesting actually to like analyze that and like look at yourself and be like, why do we do these things, you know, like, and really questioning ourselves. I feel like we don't really question ourselves as to like why we do them. So I think that's also like a massive thing that we should all do and really like look at our responses and see where that comes from. I think that's always interesting.
So, I mean, your platform that you've developed now is grown so nicely over the last while, right? But tell us a little bit about the humble beginnings. Where did it all start? Like what got you into sharing this? Like, was it the comparison photos, or like, did you have other stuff that you started before that?
So, fun story. I'll try and keep it like short. But yeah, growing up, at the age of 13, I had scoliosis, and then I had to get the scoliosis surgery. And then after that, I remember like coming out of the surgery and not being happy that I was like alive, or like that my spine was finally straight and, you know, like fixed, that I wouldn't like because basically I had to get the surgery because it was going to my spine was going to puncture my lung, and I would have died in a few months if I didn't get the surgery. So so 13-year-old me prioritized my appearance afterwards, and I kept looking at my body, especially because this was like pre-puberty for me. And I noticed that like everyone else's bodies in my grade, like they started developing, and like all the other girls had started to get like curvier, and their waists were more defined. And I was just there like, well, my one little waist curve that I had on one side is now gone. And I remember being like depressed about that. And yeah, that's kind of where like my body issues kind of started, I think. And then it just like, I kept looking at my rib cage and being like, oh, it's so wide. And I actually found one of my journals from after the surgery, and I had drawn this like curvy girl, and I was just like, this is going to be me. Like, I'm going to do this. And it was just really sad to look at that, because I didn't really like appreciate that, you know, like I said, like that I was alive and I was in good health. Instead, I was just like, I am now ugly, apparently. But anyway, so I carried that along with me for like up until I think at 18, 19, I started working out like frequently. And then I think at 20, I started posting like fitness related content onto my Instagram page and became like a fitness account. And that's like where I got my initial like growth and a bit of audience through that, because I was doing this fitness program that this really popular page had on Instagram, and they reposted one of my before and after photos. And so then that's where I was like, cool, I'm a fitness account now. This is great. I love this. And then I noticed like, as I think it was a year into me posting fitness related content, I would be posting like what workouts I did, what I ate that day, and like just all these posed photos where I was flexing, sucking in, taking it from all the best angles. I would take like 300 photos and then post one of them and like make sure that everything was pristine and so-called perfect in my eyes. And I just really wanted to keep up this like image of perfection that like I actually wasn't having in real life. In real life, I was upset about the way I looked still. I wasn't happy with my body. I was posting these photos that didn't accurately represent like what I looked like. So that's when I started moving more towards the body acceptance content. And I remember the first photo that I posted was one of the Instagram reality photos where I was flexing. In the first one, you could see like my abs, and in the second one, it was me like grabbing my tummy fat and just being like, I remember I was so scared to post that, because I was like, no, how dare anyone know that I have tummy fat or like fat on my body. And looking back on it now, it's really beautiful, like how much my perspective of myself has like grown. Wow, I'm getting emotional.
That's okay.
Ooh, sorry.
No, it's so fun. It's so fun.
Sorry about it.
It's so like, I'm just so like in awe while I listen to your story, because it is so beautiful. Like, and it is such humble beginnings that I think that post, and just thinking about how brave that would have been, going from a fitness account specifically where everything was like perfect, taking 300 photos, you know, before you post something. And like, I mean, the mental health that you were putting just into that is admirable at best, right? Because I mean, jeepers, that's not easy to do. But I think, yeah, that first step would have been insane. But I mean, look how far you've come from there, you know? It's beautiful. It's inspiring.
Thank you. Let me just compose myself, even though I know crying's normal, but I did not expect to cry there. Emotional days, it's fine. We embrace it.
Crying is part of acceptance, right? So like, good acceptance. Take it easy there, wobbly Wilma.
That name is just going to stick. Ooh, okay. Ha, ha. Thank you for the laugh there. I needed that.
Pleasure.
But yeah, it's really nice just seeing the growth and just like looking back on those times. Like, I'll still sometimes scroll down and be like, look at you growing and blossoming. Proud of you.
Look at you, girl.
Literally.
Strong and independent. I don't need no man.
Exactly. So yeah, now it's just kind of grown to that point of like, you know, not needing that reality photo. I mean, that posed photo next to that reality photo. So that's also really cool too.
Following your page for me, and like, I've been sharing it now a lot ever since like we kind of chatted and I got to know you a little bit more, right? Whenever somebody is kind of having those sort of issues with body acceptance or even body positivity, it's something that like, I'm like, go check this girl out. She's kicking ass in the real world. Like, you know, she's putting her ass on the real world, you know, and there's cellulite and stretch marks sometimes, you know, and she's not afraid to do so. And if she can do that, there's no reason why you can't do that. And one of my good friends, I sent your account and, to her, and she just said, this girl makes me feel so good about my body. And she's somebody that she says all the time, you know, that like she often struggles with bloating. And she saw like the post straight away that you had on bloating, and she was like, this is just so good. I needed to see this today because it's like uplifted my spirits. And you know, somebody else is going through the same thing. And I think that's half of what psychology does most of the time. Yeah. Right? It just shows you that, you know, you're not crazy for thinking something, but there's also people going through what you're going through.
Definitely. Yeah.
And allowing us to experience that. So again, like, thank you. Your profile is such a breath of fresh air. Like, you're just such incredibly amazing human putting yourself out there like that. And you're making good changes in the world. You are the good changes that the world needs to see. So thank you.
Thank you. You're going to get me crying again.
Well, before the waterworks start again. So, I mean, like what we're basically talking about here is body acceptance, right? Is there anything you want to add to what you've already said as to what that is really? If you were to describe to somebody that had no idea.
I remember when I first started using the term, I kind of Googled it and like changed it up a bit and like formed my own little kind of definition of it, I guess, mm-hmm. which is, I even like wrote it down. So with body acceptance, it's like learning to accept your body. And it's kind of like starting, even if you aren't completely satisfied with everything, with all aspects of yourself, it's kind of, you don't need to be accepting all of you. It's kind of like you can start anywhere and slowly like work through those things that you aren't satisfied about. And so it doesn't matter whether the like dissatisfaction with your body comes from like society's like conforming to like these things that we've internalized, not realized that we've internalized, or whether that comes from like comments that other people have said or from like things you've seen on social media. Like it's kind of just finding those aspects and then like building your appreciation and confidence with those aspects and like within yourself. And yeah, like just building up those things that you're not completely satisfied with and eventually starting to view your body differently and starting to accept like those aspects about yourself. And then just kind of realizing that your body is such a small aspect of what makes you, you. It's just your outer appearance. You know, there's so much more to you, like your hobbies and your interests, your compassion, empathy, all of that, like, you know, all the beautiful things as well that are there internally.
I think we put a lot of our mental health and like a lot of our like effort into thinking about what the rest of the world sees, right? But yeah. I think if you think about how much time you spend worrying about yourself, then you start to realize that the other people are worrying about themselves and they're not actually like looking at you, right? It's this like weird dissonance where like you think that everyone cares, but like really you're the only person that's really like fixated on that, right? Unless you maybe like some celebrity and you're on the cover of like Vogue and like people like critiquing your ankles, you know, they're like, that's a bit of a cankle to me. And then you're like, no, even like that, it's not.
Exactly. I just like, there's so many things I want to unpack about that as well. It's just like, I hate the judgment that we have towards like celebrities or like, you know, with social media becoming more and more of a thing, like influencers and stuff like that. Like this is very random, but like with the VMAs that happened, like, and I just keep seeing all these things of people critiquing like people's outfits and stuff like that. Like, obviously, yes, like it can be fun and stuff, but like when you start hating on someone, like purely because of the person that they are, who you think that they are because of like how they portray themselves on social media, it's just like, that's where I think where it just gets like, why are we doing this? You know, like I've heard the saying like, oh, they shouldn't be on social media if they can't take like the hate or whatever. But I just like, we're all people at the end of the day. Like we should all have like compassion towards each other. Sorry, that was a really random like comment, but always pops up and I'm just like, man, like why do we hate on people on the internet? Like if you wouldn't say that to their face, then don't say it at all.
I agree. But tell me what you really think about Kim Kardashian's black outfit.
I thought it was interesting. It was definitely bold and interesting. Different and cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of on social media now a little bit, and we can talk about that. I had a question here, you know, and or like more statements saying that, like, you know, I kind of believe that social media can be a dangerous place for our personal image, right? So many times social media tells us, like you're talking about earlier, right? It's societal norms that we've adopted over generations now. Social media is kind of forcing it into our faces because why? We have our phones in our hands all day, or we like on our laptops all day. It's always there, you know, it's telling us, oh, you've got to have skin like, you know, person X, and you've got to have a booty like, you know, Nicki Minaj. I was going to say person Y, but like, I think that's a better example. you know, so these standards that are kind of being set, they are quite ridiculous at times in comparison to what regular human beings look like. And then we're also up against the world's like great pretender, which is Photoshop, you know, like half the time these people are airbrushed to death. And you know, they're made to look a certain way, which is, I guess, what again, society projects on what women or men are supposed to look like. And the majority of us out there don't look like those things. So like the expectations, there's such a massive gap in the expectations here. And I think that can be quite dangerous for one's mental health, right? If you, like I said earlier, you know, if you put a lot of weight into that, if it's got a lot of clout in your life, then, you know, it can be something difficult to weigh up.
I wanted to just add, it's like crazy to keep up with these, like, I don't know if it's like societal beauty standards or things like that. Like they're constantly changing. If you look at like, I say this very often, but like back in the 2000s or 90s, like people would be like, oh, does this make my butt look big? But now it's, and then that would be like a bad thing if your butt looked big, but now it's just like, yes, that makes your butt look big. Wear that, you know? So it's weird, like having to like change your body every like 10 to 15 years just to keep up with these things. And it's like impossible to do that. So I think like partially conspiracy theory, but like of like, are these societal beauty standards like created to like profit off of us? Because like nobody's going to be able to keep up with these things. So it's just like, okay, now we can market to this group and be like, ah, yes, big butts are now a thing. You better go get this workout machine, this, I don't know, pants to make your butt look bigger. And then it's just profiting off those insecurities. And like, I mean, the beauty industry, how many billions of dollars is it now? I don't even know, but it's a constant growing industry, which is actually really interesting to look at as well. Yeah. It's like a way to like, look at for ourselves to be like, do I really need to fit into this standard and this ideal when it's just a thing that's been created? Why can't I just accept myself for who I am and kind of go with that and wear what makes me happy, makes me feel comfortable, you know?
I get you. I feel like, you know, the FBI listening into this conversation, like you've stumbled onto exactly what we're trying to do here. Like you stay right there, both of you. I wish I had like some fancy statistics here to say, oh, you know, in comparison to big pharma, you know, the fashion industry, you know, takes up X percent, which I don't, but I bet you it's massive, like you said, and these constantly changing ideals means that it's still going to be profitable and marketable to different groups or different individuals. And it's going to keep changing almost with the decades, right?
I also realized earlier I said the VMAs, but I meant to say the Met Gala. So
I'll put that in there. Like I'll just shout out Met Gala.
Yeah, if we include that bit, that was just like a random segue that just came out.
I want to talk about haters Because I feel like you must have had this sort of stuff, right? You must have had people that maybe didn't like your changeover from a fitness account to, you know, the Saggy Sarah account. Maybe people that are still to this day like, oh, like you need to lose weight, or like you need to like shave your armpits. Like there must be tons of that. Like tell me about that and tell me how you deal with that.
Ooh, so yeah, it does happen like a lot. I think when I first changed into this body acceptance account, like everyone's very like chill. They were like, this is so cool, I love this. But as I started like posting it more, like people that weren't following me would find my account and then leave hate comments being like, you're promoting obesity, you need to go to the gym and stuff like that. But meanwhile, like I am still going to the gym, and it's just kind of like, you're just looking at this photo of me and making judgments about me without knowing anything like that I do in my life, which is always like kind of weird to me. But I know it happens online. Like I'm used to it now, but at the beginning, like it was hard. I remember like crying to my friends and just being like, I don't know what to do. Like, should I just stop doing this and all of that? But as it went on, I just kind of realized like, I can just block people. So now what I do is like, I'll just like either brush it off or block them, depending on like if it's like trolling or hate comments, because there's like a difference between like helpful feedback criticism versus like trolling hate comments, which love them. But yeah, so basically dealing with them now, like I've also realized like a lot of the time people comment those things out of internalized insecurities, and they're like projecting that onto another person to alleviate like the discomfort that they have within themselves. So kind of knowing that helps me, but it also like does make me feel bad. So sometimes if I'm in a nice mood, I'll like send them a comment back being like, hey, love you, it's all good, like hate on me, that's chilled, it's fine. Other times if I'm just not in a good mood, I'll just block them or like, you know, brush it off and ignore it. But yeah, some days, like if I get several hate comments on a post, usually when I do post about like armpit hair, or like a lot of the times also like those you better work out comments, like if I get a lot of those in a day, it does like affect my mood, but only for like a few hours, or like when I'm trying to sleep and all of a sudden I'll hear that in the back of my head, like, shave your armpits. I'm like, no. Let me do what I want with my body. I have choices to make and they're only mine.
Shave your armpits.
I'm just like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. How does it affect you? I don't know. But yeah. So it's kind of just like, another point is like, what is like a woman with armpit hair, like how is that less acceptable than like these hate comments? You know what I mean? Like if you compare like hate comments are like, oh yeah, just another hate comment, oh, that's acceptable. Woman with body hair, no, disgusting, unhygienic. And I'm just like, let's learn basic biology.
Yeah. But, it just makes no sense.
Yeah. Like a lot of the time trolling comments will just be like, this doesn't make sense. But anyway, yeah, it's a lot of kind of like growing that thick skin. I don't know if I really like that term, you know, it's kind of like, how much bullying can you take on the internet, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say earlier, like, it seems like it kind of comes with the course, right? Like, you've got to have a bit of a thick skin. But then at the same time, like, why should you have to take somebody else's, you know, why should you have to carry that? You're not their therapist. Yeah. Like, why project it in that manner? Why use social media when you're trying to do something, just, you know, being yourself, allowing the world to see who you are. And for a lot of people, and I'm sure for the vast majority, it's beneficial to them. It's just these sort of trolls. It is 100%. It's just these trolls that are looking for, you know, they're keyboard warriors, you know, they're only brave from behind the screen. Should they meet you in person, they would probably be very respectful, and maybe not all of them, but we'll find them and I'll go punch them in the mouth.
It's like, hopefully me. But yeah, it is a very like interesting topic to like think about as well. Like if like anyone listening has like sent a hate comment, it's like, I don't know, next time take a moment to like think, is it really beneficial for you to like leave that? Or if you are someone getting hate comments, like also just remember that, like, these are people just saying things, and I know words can hurt, but like, you know who you are inside, and these people don't know anything about you, and like, you really shouldn't take it to heart. And I know that's so much easier, me just saying that right now, but it, like, don't take the words of strangers to heart, because they don't know you. You know you, and you are amazing.
Yeah, and if you grew up and your parents told you not to talk to strangers, that's fine. You don't have to talk back to them.
Exactly.
They're just block strangers. Them. Yeah, block them. Block them. I'm fine with that. You're in a relationship, right?
Yes.
How's that going?
Oh, I love him. Amazing.
We got to chat a little bit about him the other day, and he sounds like a true champion. How does he feel about what you share here?
Oh, he is. I just love him so much. Every time I talk about him, I'm like smiling. Wow. Gross. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I actually asked him this like prior to the podcast. I was like, so how would you evaluate my page? And he was like, positive, uplifting, and it allows others to like feel accepted. So I just love how much he like supports me, and like, yeah, like the support, and like, he's like my hype person. He like hypes me up every time. He like sometimes takes my photos, reads my captions when I'm unsure about them. I'm just like, is this okay? So yeah. And like, I mean, he's in some of my posts as well, if you want to sneak through. He actually doesn't like being on social media, so I never tag him in them. But yeah, overall, 11 out of 10, supportive, amazing. Aww. Love him.
See, that's the kind of person you need to have behind you, right? Somebody that's going to read through your captions, look for spelling mistakes, and make sure that, you know, we're not going to piss off the cancel culture.
Yes.
So I'm glad you have that.
Yeah. I read his assignments. He reads my captions. It's a win-win situation.
There we go.
Support each other all the way.
No, lovely. I think that is so nice that you have somebody to kind of share a little bit of what you're doing with as well. And I think then it gives you a support structure for when, you know, a day, like you said, when you do get a couple of people that say, man, you know, whatever, you got to do this or go to the gym, and just ridiculous comments. But then you've got somebody to say, listen, I'm having a bit of a bad day. He understands what you're going through, because he's then there for you, right? So good up, big up to him, man. Like, I like that dude.
Yeah.
We'll be friends. When I come to Pretoria, yes, then I'm going to find you guys.
And we're all going to go coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Keen.
Tattoos. You and me both, we've got tattoos. We seem to love tattoos. Just 2 days ago, you were getting a whole bunch of tattoos. How many tattoos did you get? I think you said 9.
I got 6, but I got them in 9 hours. It took 9 hours to get them. So that was the longest session I've sat for.
At least it wasn't all in one spot, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, no.
I think I did 8.5 hours on my ribs. And at the end there, it was just more tears than ink going into my skin. And that wasn't from me. That was from my tattoo artist. He was like, dude, I just have to stop, man. Like, I can't go any longer. Like, this is not right. This is no shame. So you've got a lot of tattoos, and it's become quite a big part of your sort of Saggy Sarah environment as well.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess they are on my bodies, and I post my body on the internet. So
my body.
They belong there. They're there. But yeah, love tattoos so much. I'm obsessed.
Because you've got quite a couple now, right? Do you plan on having like a full bodysuit at some point?
I think it's probably going to get there. Like, you'll see me at like 60 or 70, just covered in tattoos. Maybe not the face, but we'll see what happens. It might happen.
Just Post Malone it, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
All out. I was actually going to ask, any plans to tattoo your face?
Yeah, like, see, right now I'm just like, no, definitely not. No, I don't think I would. But I mean, I said I wouldn't get a neck tattoo and got a tiny, teeny one. So yeah, I mean, slowly inching more and more there. Would you ever get a face tattoo?
I think like maybe like Cognition over my eyebrow, and then Anko like underneath.
Anko under, yeah, perfect. Yeah,
I mean, beautiful. I think it's a like beautiful script. I think it'd be excellent, right?
Yeah, I gotta rep the brand, you know.
exactly. You see, like, that's part of what I was going to talk about tattoos, is that my therapist feels that I use tattoos and my beard to cover up and hide parts of myself. And it's something that you and I spoke about that today, Sarah, about how like I actually, part of the reason why I have tattoos is because they make me feel more like myself. I've always had this vision of the way I would look, and that was covered in tattoos. So they make me feel more comfortable with my body. And I feel more comfortable now to go out and show my body now that I have tattoos. So it's weird. It's almost like, it's like backwards. You would expect, like, at least my therapist saw it that way, like, you know, that I was covering up and hiding things from the world. But now I feel more open to share and explain and talk. And the beard, if anything, it's just cool. I like having a beard. It doesn't hide anything besides my potentially double chin, right? Like, I don't know. I haven't seen it in like nearly 2 years now. So who knows?
Exactly. But yeah, I completely agree with you on the tattoo aspect. Like, obviously it doesn't go for everyone. Like, but I also agree with you, like with myself, like it adds that like, kind of like, yeah, that acceptance towards your body. And you want to like show off your tattoos and be like, you know what? Look at myself. Look at me. Look at my body.
Look at my tattoos.
Yeah. And just like, yeah, it really adds that like acceptance and gets rid of those insecurities sometimes if you do have insecurities. But like I said, it doesn't like work for everyone that way. You know, like there's many reasons why people get tattoos. I think it's just like a bonus for some people. If it does work out that way, then that's really dope. And then for myself as well, like, I have a baby face. You guys can't see it right now on the podcast, but I don't know. Like when I do. I look like I'm 17 still, but I'm actually 25. So I used to be really insecure about that, but now I'm like, so I'm sorry, going on my tangent already. But So when I was like younger, I like started getting tattoos, and I was like, ooh, if I get more tattoos, I won't look that young. And here I am, 25, still getting ID'd, but it's okay.
You know, I think having a baby face works out like in like 10, 15 years time when everyone's like, hey, you look like you're 29 and you're like 45, you know. I feel like I'm doing the same thing with my beard. I'm just protecting like the bit of baby face that I have under here, like from like sun damage and things like that. You know, it's like natural sunscreen. So that when I do cut it at like 50, everyone's like, oh damn, this new 35-year-old just walked in. I'm like, haven't been 35 for 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, I don't know. I love like the self-expression tattoos also give, and like all the stories and like reasons for why people get them. It's like a whole other topic that I always just love to discuss with people, like whether or not they have like reasons for their tattoos. I mean, I have a random pizza here. It has no meaning absolutely whatsoever, but I was like, pizzas are cute. I like pizza. There we go. Pizza tattoo. But yeah, I love like, I don't know, just talking about tattoos. I could go on forever.
I think me too. Actually, it's giving me an idea for a podcast, you know, the psychology behind tattoos. Maybe that's something that we can get involved. I actually have another good friend. He's also a psychologist. And we were actually chatting about writing a paper at some point about the psychology behind tattoos. So maybe I'll reach out to him. He's up in Joburg in Pretoria as well. We'll maybe just throw together a little podcast when I'm up there and just chat tattoos and chat the psychology behind them. And all of us are quite heavily tattooed. So I think it'd be quite a nice little visit. We can shock some locals, you know.
Yes.
Okay, enough about tattoos now. We love them, you love them, everybody loves them. My grandmother loves them. That's a story for the podcast on tattoos.
Yeah, it's a good story as well.
She's heard it. I just told it. Okay, we'll touch on that another time. What would you say to someone that is struggling with accepting who they are and how they look?
So I could say so many things, but I'll try and keep it like a brief concise thing. But basically, like, I just want to start off saying that it's really, really not your fault, and you should not place blame on yourself for not liking your appearance or who you are, because I feel like there's so many things in society. Like growing up, I feel like little by little we start losing that like love and acceptance for ourselves, whether that's like from interactions with like random people or friends or relatives that make little comments that maybe they didn't mean to be harsh, but that it just like, we internalized it in like a harsh way, or, you know, just like general media and social media and all of that. Like there is a lot of shaming that goes on, especially like I said before, like in advertising, especially they make you feel bad about yourself to want to buy products and like things like that. And I don't know, like looking at myself, like as a kid, like you don't really like look at yourself and be like, oh, I hate myself at like the age of three. Well, I'd hope that doesn't happen. I know it does happen. I can't like say it doesn't ever happen, but it's crazy just seeing like how society can break down people. So first of all, do not blame yourself. It is not your fault. It is the product of all the things that you've had to experience while growing up and becoming who you are. And I feel like definitely a thing to also say is that when you kind of gear up to that, starting to like accept yourself and going on that journey of self-acceptance and self-love, not necessarily self-love, because that is a hard thing to like achieve, especially when you're like comparing where you are now to that, it seems almost impossible. So it's just good to keep in mind that that journey will never be linear. Like you won't, like you'll have days where you're just like, I hate how I look today. And I feel like accepting those days and not being hard on yourself on those days where you do feel like that is really important. To just be kind to yourself when you're having a tough time. And yeah, just be patient with the journey. And also realizing that like we are all different. We have different lives and no person will ever look or be or, yeah, we all have uniqueness in us and you're never going to look or be anyone else. So you should try not to compare yourself to other people as well, because there's so much beauty in what makes you you, and realizing that is an amazing thing in my opinion, you know. And also practicing body neutrality. So body neutrality is like kind of like not viewing yourself as good or bad, or like an aspect of yourself as good or bad. So like, for example, going with tummies, like I have a stomach, I have a tummy, it lets me digest food, it lets me store food, has energy that is created in the body. Clearly I did well in biology. Ignore my, but you get like the sentiment of it, you know, like viewing it as like a thing it does for yourself and keeping you alive instead of being like, oh, it looks like this and or like that. Because once you become like, get that neutral stance, it's easier to build it up to like accepting, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like function of design, right? Like
see it
as like an organ and a part of your body rather than like a thing that's supposed to create like happiness in looking at it.
Exactly. Yeah,
very much so. Yeah. I get you.
And then also I think being aware of triggers and things that make you feel less than or not good enough. Like for example, if that's social media, then I know it's hard because everyone's on social media, but I promise you going off the app for that day, even if it's just for the day or an hour, and doing something else will help you a lot, just to like distract your mind. Or I know a lot of people in their lives will have like people who like to make comments about their bodies. I've heard a lot of stories of like family reunions when they're like, oh, you've lost a lot of weight, or you've gained a lot of weight, or making just like unnecessary unsolicited comments about your body. Like I feel like if you can draw up that boundary with that person and be like, look, I'm not taking comments towards my body, like I'd appreciate it if you just did not do that right now. And kind of being like firm with it. But I know like every relationship is different that you have with a person, so obviously like gauge kind of like whether you're able to have that conversation with that person or not. And if you're not able to, then definitely stick to the other tips that I mentioned as well. And like, I feel like also, or unfollowing people on Instagram that make you feel insecure or not happy, or that you feel like you're comparing, whether that's your life or your body, to theirs. And yeah, definitely being mindful of the content you consume.
Very much so. Very much so. I like that. And it's true what you say about taking a break from social media every now and then.
Yeah.
It can be such a well-deserved like holiday, right? Like, and sometimes you just don't need to compare yourself against, you know, if you're having a bad day or something has triggered you, it might not be the best space to be on social media, and then you keep getting re-triggered, or you focus in on something and you end up worse off at the end of the day. So being aware of like the fact that that might happen to you, and just being a little bit reflective, I think can put you in a much better space to digest in the following day, should you need to.
I think also definitely journaling as well is like a good distraction of like, what triggered me? Why did it trigger me? What can I do the next time this happens? And
I mean, the psychology students out there are like, yeah, we know about journaling, but not everybody does, right? All the psych students is like number one tip, like, oh, did you journal today though? And I mean, I'm somebody that doesn't, but then recently I bought like a book for my, to start making notes for my sign language course. And as part of that, I just started writing down ideas for Cognition and Co. And then I was just writing down things about me. And that's just so beautiful to like look back after a couple of days and be like, I was having a bad day that day. And I can see that in my writing. And like, I'm feeling a little bit more uplifted now. So I'm glad that I put that out there because it gave me a little bit more time to reflect. So guys, journal, it's good. And even if you have to write down something bad and you want it out, then burn it and then it's gone. Just forget about it after that.
It's really therapeutic doing that, actually. I've done it before and I was like, this is nice. I like this. Don't burn your house down, though. Do it in a safe space.
Don't play with matches, kids. You'll wet your bed. It's a little more moist, help me. What can we see from you in the future, Miss Saggy Sarah?
Yeah.
I know you can't tell us too much because you got some like cool things in the wings, but.
Yes, I have a few projects. I know nobody likes hearing, I have things going on, but I can't tell you about it. But yeah, I'm sorry to do that to you guys, but yeah, definitely have a few things that are really, really exciting that will hopefully be coming out in the next few months by the end of this year. So look for the exciting things that I can't tell you about. But yeah.
Stay tuned. Kind of we'll tell you in the next episode.
Stay tuned for things. But yeah, I'm kind of in like this random phase of my life where I don't really have like set in stone things, concrete plans that I want to do, which is kind of nice, but also scary because, yeah, liminal phases are always interesting, especially like being done with uni now. I'm like wanting to apply for master's. I applied, by the way, and I didn't get in, but it's okay. Made different plans. I mean, it gave me a chance to work on social media. So if there's anyone out there who didn't get into master's, don't you worry. You will come up with a plan. And I know it's probably not fun hearing right now, but I promise you it will work out in some way or another. And yeah, you got this and keep going. I'm also kind of saying this to myself as well, by the way.
It's because you didn't come and do all of my group sessions and the case studies and the role play, which we'll sort out for next time.
Yes,
don't worry. We've got your back. This is a shameless plug from Dylan at Cognition & Co. for all your psychology needs. And
if you don't want to end up like me.
I'm leaving this in.
I'm fine with that.
That was part of my question though. Like, will we see you, you know, in psychology in the future? Is that somewhere where you'd like to go? And obviously it is if you applied for masters, but you know, I think you have a lot to bring to the table, right? And a lot of experience in working with this kind of stuff. And I can just see like the research topic, like, coming out of you already, like for your dissertation, you know? And I think it could be so valuable. You'd bring such value to the field. So I hope that you don't give up with it. I hope that you do, you know, apply more and do my sessions and and join the field, right? I think there's so much that you have to offer. And psychology would be missing out without you. But don't think that you don't already have a massive psychological impact on the people that are following you already. You know, just from the couple of individuals, including my mom and like one of my best friends, you know, we've all very much appreciated what you put out there because it has
been so
beautiful and just so needed in the world. There must be other accounts doing similar things to what you're doing, but I don't care about them. I only care about yours.
I appreciate the support.
With Cognition & Co, it's all or nothing, right? Like either you like us or you don't like us. We like you or we don't like anyone else.
But thankfully, yes, there are lots of other body acceptance and body positivity accounts. So I definitely recommend searching hashtags on Instagram and looking at them if you want to find more. So
Go for it.
I also do really want to get back into psychology. It's weird, like I actually miss studying. I know a lot of people don't say that, but I genuinely do miss like reading research reports and like being like, oh, that's a cool thing, and then writing that into like your assignments. I don't know.
And the thing is, we can read those research reports and we can read those journal articles like on our own time, right? But you know, there's nothing more motivating than having a deadline.
A deadline.
Or, you know, having paid for your course in order to force you to do it, right?
I know. I was just like, why don't I do this? Like, I don't need to get a master's degree to be reading like online articles. And then the other week I was actually like doing research for a post, and then I was just like, this is fun. But it's like when you're making your own deadlines, you're just kind of like, oh, I can procrastinate this a few more days. it happens.
Oh, goodness. Well, we do. I really do hope that we do see you further in psychology. I think that's, like I said, it would be a good addition to the field. So all the universities that are listening to this, Sarah Puto, she's...
Accept me, please.
Don't worry, I did that a number of times in previous podcasts, just in case. So now I've got fingers crossed for you that it works on this one. All right, let's start to wrap up a little bit.
Cool.
What sort of message would you like to leave our listeners with?
Always like... I love this question, but I'm always just like, oh, what is the best thing to say? Like, there's never like a best thing to say, but it's always like, I just want to say, like, if you're listening to this and you're having a hard time, whether that's like with mental health or your body or anything, like, just know that you really, really aren't alone. Like, I know a lot of people don't talk about their struggles, like not that it's not often talked about, but like, I know a lot of people don't. So yeah, like just know that you're not alone. And I know there's days where it gets like really hard, and like linking this back to like body acceptance, if you're feeling like you're struggling to accept your body, like, you know, taking it day by day is also okay, or hour by hour or minute by minute, you know, like our feelings will fluctuate throughout days and throughout weeks and stuff. So yeah, just know that it doesn't last forever. And if you are like, you know, going through something where you feel like you can't accept yourself, like, know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. I know that's a very common saying, but it is very, very true. Like, if I reflect back on, like, you know, 6 years ago, like that comparison of like how I am now, like, you know, it's not hopeless. You have to keep holding on to that hope. Like, you got this. You are amazing. Go in the mirror and tell yourself you're amazing. But yeah. You know, we're all figuring life out, and it can be scary and really difficult at times, but you're not alone, and you got this. You're a beautiful person inside and out, okay?
Yeah, I think it's like you said earlier, you know, like it's not always linear, and, you know, that means that tunnel that you're going through, you're not always going to see that light, you know. Sometimes you have to go down another hill and then up another, then you're only going to start to see the light. So sometimes it can be quite a long walk, and... Just know that, you know, although it's dark in that tunnel, there are people next to you. Grab somebody's hand, reach out, you know. I think there's nothing that's more motivating than having somebody by your side to help guide you at times. And, you know, most of the times you'll be guiding that person too. It's just how it works. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that with us, Sarah. I really appreciate it.
But, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's basically towards the end of where we wanted to get, right? Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up, or anything else that you thought you'd mention?
I think we've talked about a good amount of things.
I think so. I don't even know how long it's been. It's been an hour already. That's excellent.
Yeah.
So much for a short, easy to listen to podcast. Yeah. You know? This is for the people that drive, you know, from like four ways to Bedford View, and it takes an hour. So that's the person that's listening to this podcast now. That was my old drive when I lived in Joburg, and it was horrible. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on here and just sharing a little bit about what you do. Like, I know that everybody listening to this now, if they've made it to the end of this podcast, if you're not already following Sarah's page, like, quickly go onto Instagram, follow it. All the links and stuff will be in the bio of this podcast. You won't find it. And I think she has a TikTok too. She doesn't do the dances though. I asked. It's okay.
Sadly not. I'm not good at dancing.
neither I. I keep trying to practice, but I just get nowhere. But basically her hashtag, her her at symbol thing. What's that called? Her tag? Her
handle.
Handle.
Instagram handle, I think.
There we go.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm a social media wizard, obviously. It's at Saggy Sarah. Saggy with two G's. But thanks once again for coming on the podcast. I'm sure people are going to absolutely love this. And I'm sure that you'll get a good couple more followers. Not that you need them. You have too many already. but yeah. Hopefully they're not the trolling type, right? They're not the ones that are going to cause trouble for you.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on this.
Just a massive thank you to Sarah for giving us her time and joining us on the podcast. To everyone still listening, thank you so much for sticking around. We'll see you next time.